Hey there, cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 56 of Crosshairs Radio. On today's show, we have a three-peat. Ben Frederick is coming back for the third time. If you don't know who Ben Frederick is, you can go back and listen to. We have two great conversations up. Episode 9 of the podcast, and then also episode 20. You can go to cxairs.com. Just search for Ben Frederick and Crosshairs Radio. Those should pop up. Also, they are on the iTunes page as well. You get a little history, a little background about who Ben is and his rise into cycling, into the pro ranks of cycling. Unfortunately, this one is a little bit more of a downer. Ben suffered a serious traumatic brain injury about 4 months ago. He hasn't been able to ride his bike. He hasn't been able to train. Hasn't really been able to go outside or do anything or work. And we get into a lot of that and what he's going through in this episode. But that's only part of it. The other part of it is he's a super conscientious guy. He did a lot of work last year putting together a program for himself. And that's why he wanted to come back onto the show, really to give those sponsors, those people who have supported him, who created this team that he felt like he wasn't able to deliver on this year, to give them to give them the publicity that they deserve and to thank them for supporting him, you know. And they include like Ascent Bicycle Studio. That's his title sponsor now, biggest sponsor out there for the Beyond CX team, and also Richie Bikes and Bell Helmets and Shimano and STG Components and a whole list of other sponsors that made it possible for him to put together this ambitious program for the year that came to a screeching halt when he suffered this injury. So it's, you know, the first half is really just Ben wanting to go through and thank all those people, and then after that we get into the story of what happened. And Ben's still in recovery. He's still going through a lot, and you can hear it in this interview. I mean, he's a super smart guy. We always have great conversations. He's completely on it. If you follow him on social media, he's using the hashtag slow life. Everything just has to be slowed down for him right now, and that's how he can survive in the world. And you can really sort of see that coming out in this interview. And I didn't take out any of the pauses, I didn't take out any of the space, because I want you to get an idea of what he's going through, and I think it makes it the story more compelling. No sponsor for this purposeful. We got more sponsors coming down the road, and we'll get into those in future episodes. For this one, and Ben doesn't know I'm doing this, but I'm going to do it on his behalf. There was a GoFundMe that was set up. As I said, he can't work. He's got to get to doctor's appointments. He can't drive himself. There are just expenses that he's not able to cover. Some of his friends up in New England set up a GoFundMe for him. Usually, I'm not a huge fan of GoFundMes. In this instance, I think this is a worthy cause and something that if you have a couple bucks, you can throw Ben's way. It's something that will go a long way and really will go to the essentials of getting him back on his feet. And that's just GoFundMe.com, and then it's / Ben Jam Fred, so BenJamFred. I will have links to that on the page on cxharris.com and also in the description of this podcast. And beyond that, go visit BeyondCX.rocks as well. And that's the positive part of this story. And Ben Frederick is a super positive guy, so it's going to be positive in the end. And go check out his new team. Go check out that site and go give some love on Twitter and social media to Ascent Bicycle Studio and all of the other sponsors that were there for him and are still there for him despite him not being able to race his bike. Okay, let's talk to Ben Frederick. Hey, Ben, nice to talk to you. It's been a while, and it's a good opportunity. I thought it'd be a good opportunity to catch up.
Hi, Bill. Good to talk to you again. It has been a while. So first things first, I have kind of, if you guys, listeners, can bear with me, I have some some cool things I want to talk about with a continuation of Beyond CX, which is the team that I or program that I put together for the 2015-2016 season, and was going to be all set up for the current season. And yeah, I just want to kind of talk about that a little bit, if you'll humor me a little bit, Bill.
Yeah, definitely. And just so if people maybe are new to the podcast and want to know your story, I think you were on episode 9 and then episode 20. And I really, you know, would just want people to go back and maybe listen to those. Some are a little long, but it sort of gives you some background on Ben and his rise in racing and just how you got to, you know, where you are and sort of this upward trajectory to where you are now. And, you know, it gives a little background on what we're talking about today with this new development in the team that you created.
Mm-hmm. So, since last December, I've been really working hard to, have this team be something that, continues to grow, in, I guess, its ability to, give exposure, the ability for, myself to get to some bigger races and see what I'm capable of as an athlete, and then down the line, hopefully give avenues for other riders like myself, resources to ride bikes, at a high level. Throughout the summer, I got to meet a lot of really amazing people in the industry that have really stepped up and had invested in the program. And I'm excited to, I guess, not announce, but announce the Beyond CX presented by Ascent Bicycle Studio cycling team. Unfortunately, in August, I had a pretty hard crash in training, which has derailed this season. But I thought it was really important to, since I'm now able to have, the ability to give all of these sponsors, I guess, because I haven't been racing, I haven't been able to talk about them very much. And so this is the first opportunity that I've been able to try to do that.
Yeah.
So.
And we'll, you know, I think people who follow you know about the accident, and that's something that we want to talk about, and just your journey back to health from that. And we are going to do that. But right now, yeah, let's get a little bit more, you know, hear a little bit more about who you're working with and the sponsors that are making this team possible.
Yeah. So, the presenting sponsor is Ascent Bicycle Studio, and they are a very high-end retail bike shop out of Ellicott City, Maryland. And the manager, Chris, approached me in Asheville last year about wanting to partner together. I was a fan of Chris's work behind a camera and with his ability to kind of capture cycling in a very beautiful way. And he has a really cool eye for cycling. And so when he wanted to partner with the team to give some exposure to the new shop, I had every confidence that the shop that he was putting together was going to be awesome. And it is.
Yeah.
And so for him to reach out and want to support the team was awesome. So, yeah, Ascent Bicycle Studio is the presenting sponsor. And then continuing and even stepping up their support, working with Richie Logic again. They were kind of the OG partners in this team. And I've just been so fortunate to be working with the awesome people there. This year they did some custom bikes for me, which is super rad. And they're providing the wheels and the cockpit and all the other bikes that I use for training. So I'm on the Swiss Cross, as well as was riding their Carbon Breakaway and for road, and the P650B steel mountain bike. So big shout out to Richie for that.
Yeah, those are all great bikes. But I loved you had some cool photos that they're still using of you on that mountain bike, and that looks like it's a fun one to ride.
Yeah, steel is real. And then a big thanks to Shimano and Stephen Keller. He helped provide the drivetrains. So it's a new drivetrain for me. Also providing the shoes, and Stephen was able to get me those the XC9 Spire shoes that kind of just dropped even before the guys in Europe had them. So big thanks to Shimano. And then some new guys brought on Bell Helmets, which we'll go into later. Bell probably saved me from breaking my neck. Pactimo is doing the clothing this year, which looks phenomenal. I'm so stoked on the kits. Clement came on board with tires. SDG Saddles, shout out to Amanda Nauman, is helping me there. And Evoc is doing all the travel gear. So bike bags, wheel bags, and all of the luggage. And Untapped Maple is doing nutrition. So yeah, that is the Beyond CX presented by Ascent Bicycle Studio program. Very, very happy to have gotten that all together and have all the people that are on it be people that I'm really stoked on.
Yeah, and it's a testament to your hard work, but also your ability to build these personal relationships with all of these companies and the representatives. And I think it's a really good lesson for other people who are in a similar position as you, who are always, you know, struggling to get those sponsorship dollars, and how it is possible. And I think in your case, one, you're a hard worker and go after these, but also, you know, you try to create a personal relationship with all these different companies, and really, and that I think that's something that matters to you, and it shows that they're able to support you and willing to support you even when things don't go as planned.
Yeah, and you know, for the guys, I mean, Amanda's one of her podcasts was super good about this, but like for all the guys trying to do it, it started in December, sending, you know, emails to every single person you could think of, and two of the 400 might stick. And then of those two, you really got to stay on it. I was fortunate enough to be able to go out to Sea Otter this year and put names to faces and shake hands. And I even wrote my resume and all my contact info on a banana and handed them also a paper thing with a banana sticker on it to get like that. So like you could, when you email them a week later, when the dust settled, hey, I'm the dude who gave you a banana. Like
that's amazing.
Just trying to get creative.
Right. No, that's great.
And so, yeah, putting the nose to the grindstone does pay off. And it helps you find the people who are really, really willing to take a risk and invest in all the things that you know you're capable of. So even though this isn't ideally how I would be announcing the team or the program, given that I haven't really pedaled my bike in 4 months. It's so important to me to however I can give these guys the at least a little bit of the credit that they're due for their investment.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and happy to give that opportunity because, again, you know, I feel like with the times that we've talked, both for the podcast and also off the podcast, I you are one of those people that I really like following and like cheering for, and I think that others do as well. So it's good to see that you have at least this foundation out here. If indeed you are, you know, going to be moving forward and hopefully back to racing at some point.
Yeah, and so for all the people listening, give those guys a shout on the medias. they've definitely showed that they care about me. So if you could show them that that you care about them caring about me, that would really mean a lot to me. So yeah, now that the team is officially announced, not announced, there's going to be some really cool content coming out. So keep your eyes out for that.
So at this point, still just supporting yourself and, no other plan. I know we had talked about that just sort of briefly, and if it's not, but about maybe having somebody else with you on the team, but that's farther down the road.
Oh yeah. The plan was to just support myself again. I was fortunate enough to be able to get enough support to be able to move to New England and potentially have the ability to go over to Europe after Nationals. All things that are really, you know, help develop. Like, you look at all the names, if you will, like, they cut their teeth over in Europe, and it gave them the experience to then be able to support other riders better. So, as it stands now, just me, but definitely an eye on trying to grow the program possibly.
But for now, I mean, supporting yourself is a hard enough goal and one that many struggle for. So I think that's a that's probably where what you should be concentrating on. But, you know, we sort of danced around it up to this point. I wanted to have that opportunity for you to get out all the sponsors and really give them their due for helping you out. But let's kind of go back and talk about why you haven't ridden your bike for the past 4 months.
Yeah, let's do it. So, like I had said, I moved to England to be able to race cyclocross bikes as fast as I could. And going into the last, I guess, few weeks before Rochester, I was doing a training ride, and on a really innocuous piece of not even single track, I got caught in some deep sand, casually fell off my bike, and I fell in such a perfect way that I whacked my head pretty hard, to the point where I'm still unable to ride my bike, still can't drive at this point. Things are getting better, and we'll go into more details, but I suffered a pretty major brain injury.
And did you, was this that, you hitting your, I mean, where coming down just directly on the ground? Was it just?
Yeah. So, it was going through, like, it was in some soft dirt. And so I just kind of fell off the side of my bike, and the way that I hit my head, it just dug into the sand.
Okay.
And I didn't bounce or roll or slide. I just went from 19 miles an hour to zero.
Oh, so like, right. So all that impact, even though it was sand, which you would think maybe softer than the ground, since you weren't able to bounce or slide or anything, it was that jarring just was concentrated in that one little section where you were stuck.
Exactly. And so if, like, people are familiar with, like, a sand filled mallet, like they're no bounce hammers. Like it's the same kind of thing. Like, all of that energy just went straight to the back left side of my head. I'm really fortunate that I was wearing my Bell helmet, with the MIPS technology. So it actually allowed the helmet to move a little bit in that, impact. And given the damage that was done to my neck, it's, you know, you don't want to think about that kind of stuff, but you know, I might've like the helmet might've saved me from breaking my neck. But I ended up like not losing consciousness. I got up and was like, well, I need to finish this interval. And so I started riding and I felt kind of woozy, and I called someone just to let them know that I hit my head and I was working my way home, and they could tell immediately that I wasn't right. So I had to do another half hour out of the trails. And once I got to the gas station, the adrenaline had worn off and I was like, okay, this is for real. This is a thing.
Yeah, that's
all right.
That's just, it's both amazing and also scary. And also I think just showing the power of what you were saying of adrenaline, because knowing how you were soon after that without able to do anything, that you were able to get up and ride and didn't realize right away that it was as serious as it was. It's just, man, the human body, it's pretty exceptional at times.
Yeah, for real. And so like, over the next, I guess, 5 days, it started to really kind of, like with head injuries, with, okay, so concussions, they're like snowflakes. It's all snow, but each one is very different and affects people differently. And the symptoms are different, and the length of recovery is different. And there's trends, but there's no... Like if you break your leg, there's well-documented recovery curves for breaking a leg. And it's pretty consistent over most leg breaks. But with a concussion or a traumatic brain injury, it's not like a set in stone thing, you know? And so I was giving Dr. Google a lot of my time to try to figure out what I should do. And a lot of it was like, don't do anything, you know, avoid screens, avoid thinking, which is a challenge in itself, and avoid doing any activities and things like that. And it also takes, you can have the initial impact, and then over the next 4 days, it really kind of settles in all of the implications and all of the chemicals and hormones that are released when you damage brain tissue. And so what I thought was going to be I'll just take the weekend off, you know, hit my head, is, you know, here we are 4 months later, still talking about it.
Yeah. And still dealing with it every day. And the progression has been, I mean, we're talking now, and, you know, I know you really wanted to do this, as did I, but also you were like, hey, I only have like, you know, X amount of time until I'm not gonna, you know, be able to go any further, because you're still dealing with this on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, to give some more context to it, like the first 6 or 7 weeks, I was basically stuck in my bedroom with full blackout curtains, not able to listen to music, not able to look at a computer to like zone out and watch movies, in a place that I didn't really know anyone, away from, you know, my family down in Virginia, you know, not able to drive, not able to really take care of myself. And so it was pretty heavy. It was pretty heavy for a while. And then I finally recovered enough to be able to go home to Virginia for like 2.5 weeks and stay with family, which was huge, because I was able to just be taken care of, because like in the beginning, like I would wake up and make breakfast and have to go take a 2-hour nap to recover from the effort of making breakfast in order to get up to make lunch and then get back in bed to recover enough to make dinner. Repeat. And so it was really good to just be able to focus on the recovery process down in Virginia. And so then I was in Virginia, and meanwhile had tried to put some balls in motion, irons in the fire to get help from specialists with brain injuries. And I found out that there's this place called the Cantu Concussion Clinic that is one of the highest, most reputable clinics in the country that happened to be only 2 hours from where I live up here. So I knew I needed to come back to Massachusetts to go to this clinic. I also have health insurance through MassHealth, so I had to be here to be able to use that. And so when I got back from Virginia, it was like, well, I don't know how I'm going to get to this therapies, but this is where I need to be. And I don't know, like, I just don't know. Cause just making breakfast is enough mental strain. But we'll see what happens. And so that's when, a really, really an amazing community up here, reached out, and you know, because of them, I've been able to continue to stay up here and get the care that I need.
Yeah, and just to touch on what you're saying, that's because through the Massachusetts healthcare system, you're covered for a lot of that, and you're able to get that high-end care just from being that you wouldn't be mm-hmm. able to if you're in Virginia. One of the things I do want to go back on, just because I know, you know, just in talking to you, how you're one of these guys who really doesn't stop thinking. So, and that whole part of it, yeah. And especially since, you know, well, a couple of things, you've had injuries before. And I think that, you know, and just from when we talked before, you would always, you really had this learning curve of when you first injured, I think it was your knee, when you were like, I'm not stopping. I'm just going and going and going. And, you know, you injured yourself more. You had an injury after that. And you're like, okay, I have to be more careful now, more vigilant. This happens and you're in a completely different realm as how to deal with this. How did you, I mean, mentally, what were you going through? How were you able to, I'm assuming you were at least a little bit freaking out about all these plans that you made that now were not able to happen. How were you able to cope with that and get to where you are now?
Let's see if we can break this down.
That was a lot.
That's a lot. And it is a lot. Because, you know, my mental game is something that I was very proud of and attributed a lot of my success to, because cycling is really hard and trying to find wins and things like that, just, you know, when you double flat and you don't have anything but a file tread on your pit bike because you couldn't afford tubulars, and you know, like all of that stuff that has allowed me to keep pushing through to get to where I was. There was this huge overarching goal of pro, making it happen. And so no matter what, there was always something for me to kind of work towards each day. And so even, you know, when I had a broken back, like there's physical therapy that you can do, that makes it, you know, the steps are really tangible. But with the head injury, like I was given counsel to not, like, if you're going to listen to a, like, don't think if you can. Try to avoid very, very hard emotional things. So if you're having issues with family or relationship, like try to avoid that stuff, because that can trigger more release of these hormones in the first 3 or 4 weeks. And so my gut was to like rally and problem solve and try to figure it out. And it was detrimental. Like it actually, delayed, you know, some of the healing process. And it's, I guess being broken down as far as I was to just existing in a dark room, it kind of changes your perspective. And there were certain levels of, I guess, having to like focus if I was going to think about stuff, have it be in a positive direction, if that makes sense, as opposed to just letting the brain kind of do what it was, what.
Yeah, you weren't letting yourself wander. You were trying to push things in a more positive direction.
Right. And so thinking about the future was causing symptoms. And so I ended up having to kind of just go take my brain out of problem future solving mode, because just getting through the next hour was challenging enough. Getting to the next hour to be able to get to the next hour to get to the next day. To survive, like I'm not trying to sound dramatic, but it got way heavier than like pedaling a bike around, outside.
Right. Well, so, I mean, this is something that could potentially, you know, be with you for the rest of your life. So by nature, mm-hmm. it's a heavy thing to have to deal with, and then not really being able to mentally allow yourself to deal with it had to be a huge struggle.
Yeah. And so a big turning point was after, I guess it had been like 5 weeks, I just kind of went ahead and let go of any ambitions of racing this season.
Right. Okay. So, even into that month, you're like, all right, this is going to resolve, and then I'll still be able to salvage some part of the season. That was still with you within that first 4 weeks.
Easy. Yeah. Like every day it was like, well, this is okay. So maybe I'll be back by the Texas races. Okay. Well, maybe not the Texas races, but if I can do whatever the equivalent of Kingsport is, and then Nationals, I just saved so much budget by not racing now, I'll be able to go to Europe.
Right.
Sweet. Cause they race through February. No problem. And you know, after it was hard, you know, it's hard to let that go. But after 4 weeks of like being in the sun for more than 10 minutes, like really hurt me. It was like, okay, kid, like, all right, let's kind of rally and reassess. And, once I was able to release myself from the pressure of getting back on the bike and racing this season, that was definitely a lot easier to kind of go throughout each day, and I could have the patience with myself and with the process to kind of let it go at its own speed. And a big thing that, so for more context, like with the brain injury, so like one of the docs told me that like if you have a soft tissue injury, like pull a muscle or break a bone or something like that, like the recovery trajectory time is X. If you were to have a connective tissue, like a tendon, something like that go, it's like X times two. And then with a brain, it's X times four or five.
Mm.
as far as the length of time. And it's not like you can just like give someone crutches and say, all right, don't use your brain for 4 weeks.
Right.
that's kind of impossible. you need your brain for a lot of things.
Right.
And so, yeah, like it's still a struggle every day, because even as I'm able to do more and more, it still feels like a snail's pace given obviously what I would want, but even just the course of an injury.
Yeah. And so where are you now as compared to, you know, 4 or 5 weeks into it?
Fortunately, I'm still in Massachusetts, still getting help. I can go for hikes, that are around 4 miles if I'm rested up for them. I've been able to start using data again, so I have a heart rate monitor, and I know that at 120 beats a minute, I start to get symptomatic. And if I keep it below 100 beats a minute, that really extends my range. Like, for the nerds out there, like 100 beats a minute is my FTP. And so as long as I stay below that, I can, you know, be more indefinite than stepping up into those glycogen burning above the threshold.
In comparison, when you were sort of top form racing, what was your average heart rate looking at? You know, like race pace.
Oh, easily in like, I think I would average like 176 to 180 for an hour. It's definitely less than right now. And you can do, you know, you can easily Google why that's the case, but I'm definitely celebratory about the fact that I can get outside again, because I wasn't able to for a long time. And so just about every weekend the past three, like, this is a pretty new development that I've been able to start, like, going on hikes. Once a week I'm going, taking that 2-hour trip to the clinic. I still can't drive. It's just dangerous for me to drive and really overwhelming on my vestibular system, which is like my balance and perception. And so there's been just an amazing support group of people who are willing to take their vacation days and hours to get me to this clinic where we do like cognitive exercises, where like they'll say a few words and I have to read them back in alphabetical order. And then we've slowly started stepping up to go like doing that in a crowded area, which is like super challenging for me.
Sure. Yeah.
And then on the PT side of stuff, just trying to undo a lot of like, I basically existed in a fetal position for a while. So undoing a lot of that imbalance of just being so like crouched and protective of, like, it was very like, what's the word? Animalistic is coming to mind, but like, just my brain was like, we're not right. So you need to like protect yourself. So right. I was just very hunched. And so we're doing like back exercises and neck exercises and doing things where like eventually I'm going to walk on a treadmill and they're going to hold, like a popsicle stick that I have to follow with just my eyes while I walk.
Sure.
and that's like, ugh, like that makes me nauseous just thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
But like I can make coffee again.
Well, that's something. That's good.
It's huge. Cause that wasn't the case. And
drinking coffee doesn't affect you, like caffeine and all that doesn't.
Oh, I definitely, I only do like 6 ounces a day if I'm gonna, it's the process more than anything. But I can have people over as long as it's like two people I can hold a conversation for like 45 minutes. I still struggle with more than one conversation at a time. Being like, I can't, going to a coffee shop is super overwhelming. Going to a grocery store is super overwhelming. Noise really affects me. But you know, every day I see little bits of improvement. So it's definitely something to be celebrated.
Yeah.
It's putting a lot of things in perspective.
Yeah. One of the things that you had been doing too, that I've enjoyed, and I like it just cause I like seeing that you still have that, despite all of this, have that creative spark. One, just starting just with the photography you're doing, the stuff on Instagram. But then you also, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on this, you did a little photo essay of what, what sort of your perception of what it was like to live with a TBI. And I loved it. I thought it was great and compelling.
Thank you.
What I found really interesting is that on Facebook and other social media, people weren't able to deal with it, and they weren't able to deal with you struggling. Like,
and that's,
you know, so, what I'm saying? Like, all the comments in there were like, "Hey man, keep your head up. It's all right. You know, you got to stay pot." And it was just really interesting that people were not all of them, but a significant amount of people really were not allowing you to show any kind of vulnerability or pain or suffering in any of that photo essay.
So, for the listeners, Bill and I are going to work together to be able to share that with you guys. Cause it's, yeah, I was very happy with it. But part of what I wanted to share using that essay is like, I have a traumatic brain injury, but if you look at me, I'm fine. Like, I don't have a cast on my arm. I don't have this scar that you can see. And so trying to, you know, cope with that, even with myself, like I, if I had a cast on my leg, it's very obvious why I can't do the things that I want to do. There's a visual thing. But with a brain injury, it's not like it's hard to kind of put visuals to it. And I talked to so many people who reached out who have dealt with similar things, and that's been a big through line. And so I did this photo essay to kind of help me deal with, the reality of what it was. And so part of that project when I was posting it on Facebook and Instagram was I didn't post anything but that. With all of my posts leading up to that, and even just how I am as a human, like I will always find silver linings. I will always find wins. But during those 6 weeks in that room, like, man, it's hard to call I made breakfast, and, or it's hard to say I was awake for 2 minutes before my head hurt and was dizzy and have that carry you through the day. And so, the photo essay was really an attempt to give people just a look at what, like, you can't escape it when you have it. And so I didn't let people, I guess, escape from the essay. Like, so yeah, like, it's interesting that you bring that up, because that was definitely a thing, that I noticed that people, like, all well-intentioned.
Right. That was the thing. They thought that they were being, that their response was somehow like supporting you, where, and I the last thing I'm ever going to do is, respond to something like that on Facebook. It seemed like in doing that, it was almost the opposite, you know, it was sort of like trying to force you to just almost not understanding what was going on. Just sort of like buck up, camper, and, you know, get on with it.
Yeah, like there was someone who said this is a far cry from the positive cyclist that I knew.
That was, I think, like, that might have been, yeah, exactly, yeah.
And I was like, what? Okay, first, this isn't for you. This isn't really for anyone but me. Like, it was a hugely therapeutic experience. Like, I had to deal with, like, through that photo series, I was able to get myself to open these custom painted Ritchie frames that I hadn't been able to do because it was too painful, because it represented what I couldn't do. But I knew because of the photo series that, like, if I was going to do this photo series justice, I had to do that. And so it was hugely therapeutic for me. And there was more than a handful of people who were just like, at some level, I get it. Like, holy shit. I get it. I'm so sorry. Like, this is wow. So to have that outlet was very good. And it's been fun to keep playing with doing different series. You know, I spent 6 years trying to align the name Ben Frederick with cycling or cyclist, and both of the team accounts and my personal account were in line with trying to market Ben Frederick. And, it's been nice to not, yeah. and when you're, I use the term slow life because that kind of what happened after I hit my head, like everything slowed down. Like, I'm still even mentally still kind of slow, and it makes you look at things different. And I've been able to have the opportunity to try to capture that, and share that with people.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of, you know, just slow life and also your ability to do that, I think we had talked about somewhere in about the 30 minute mark, you know, and, we're already up to a little over 40 minutes. So I don't want to push you further than you, want to go as far as talking. The last thing that I really wanted to just hit on, just for the starkness of this, but with hopefully, you know, again, more silver linings, is that you were your goal, pro cyclist, and that was going to be how you were going to, you know, make your money and feed yourself and do all of the things that you needed to be a person. This comes up, you can't drive, you can't do all these things, you can't do the thing that you were trying to make a career. And financially, I know with the healthcare, at least, you know, you got to stay in Massachusetts to get that care that you want, but financially, it's got to be a struggle. And financially, I know that the community has helped you some, in the past. Is that something that, and I know we're all proud people, but is that something that you were, you know, if people were to do that again, is that something that, you know, you would accept, you would need, that would help you move on to try to get to the point where you're able to ride your bike again?
So I'll answer this with kind of the reality of the situation. I can't work because I can't look, I can't, like, CycleSmart, the company that I coach with, has been hugely accommodating, with trying to help me transition to being recovered enough to handle my client load. But that's just, it's just not sustainable right now. And so I can't really look at screens for more than a half an hour at a time. Higher level thought is still something that's really tough. I'd love to be able to work in a coffee shop because I nerd on coffee in the meantime, but I can't even sit in one for more than 15 minutes before I get just mentally blown out and overwhelmed. So, you know, what it comes down to is, I can't, like, if I were to go back to Virginia, and stay with family, which is totally an option, I wouldn't be able to have healthcare. It would be another probably 3 months to get it if I could, and then to start with new therapies and things like that. But if I were to be able to stay here, I can continue with the groups that I've been working with. I can continue to enjoy this new community of people that have really buoyed me and supported me and like really kind of sat in the shit with me. And not really, you know, not really thought anything of it. It's just reactionary to them. And I want to be around that support network. There was a GoFundMe that circled around that got me to this point, which I'm unbelievably grateful for. Like I don't have remotely the words to do it justice. But man, this recovery process has taken a while. So I'm not in a position to not accept help, I guess is what it all comes down to.
Yeah.
If that's answer enough.
No, I think that's the best way to put it. I mean, and that does sort of add to the starkness of it that I know. I mean, I know you're a you're a proud guy, stubborn guy. You're not one that's going to look for the easy way out. So it's not like it's handouts, but you know, you gotta sometimes lean on others for the support to make it through what's, I'm assuming, is probably the most difficult time of your life to date. I mean, going through this and recovering.
Well, like hands down, because you know, bringing back to the starkness, this isn't even to be able to like ride a bike again. Like this is to be able to go to the grocery store and not have to wear sunglasses and a hat and shooting range grade earmuffs. This is to be able to go to a dinner party and not have to like eat in the living room with all my friends in the dining room. I laugh at the irony. This is beyond CX. This is beyond cyclocross. And so, yeah, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what better looks like. But I know that I do need help.
Yeah, no, that's well, not funny in funny, but yeah, just looking at that name in a whole new light now, beyond CX. Yeah. Wow. Well, Ben,
I think we did it. I'm tapping out, but
I was going to say, I want to thank you for taking the time. All, you know, first off, you know, this definitely, as we knew it would, took a turn here towards the end, but I think it was great for you just to give the shout outs to all the people that made it possible when you first moved up to Massachusetts and to start this pro career, and especially to like Ascent and all, and Richie and all of those, Shimano, all those Bell, all those other great sponsors that you have. And then, you know, I'm glad that we were able to catch up. I'm hoping that not too far down the road, we can do this again. And, yeah, see where you're at with your recovery at that point. But, in the meantime, wish you the best, and slow life.
Yeah, slow life. Thanks, Bill, and thanks everyone who has reached out and sent their encouragement. Like I've heard every word, and it definitely made the long days a little bit shorter. So thanks to everyone, and thanks again, Bill. And yeah, we'll catch up soon for sure.
Okay, great. Thanks, Ben. All right, there you have it. It was great to catch up with Ben Frederick. Once again, if you could go check out his new team at beyondcx.rocks, that'd be awesome. Also, if you have a couple dollars you want to throw his way on the GoFundMe, it's GoFundMe.com/BenJamFred, BenJamFred. And that photo essay that we were talking about, that slow life photo essay, I'm going to get that posted up on CXers.com as well. So look out for that. I think it's a powerful
photography and also essay piece that he put together. So I'd love for you, all of you, to check that out. Give Ben a shout out on Twitter at BeyondCXCycling and also at BenJamFred. You can follow me at CXHairs on Instagram and Twitter. Get in touch at feedback@cxhairs.com. And if you have a second, call the hotline. Let us know what you're thinking. 405-294-2477, 405-CX-HAIRS. Also, don't forget to become a member of the Wide Angle Podium, wideanglepodium.com. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.